AM 1420 WASR Wolfboro, W246 DI Wolfboro at 97.1 FM. Local, community, radio.
And now, live from WASR Socially Distanced Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hasek.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hasek, we are Mike and the Haas. Charlie, I'm not going to ask how you're doing. I want to know how Eric's doing today.
Yeah, Eric.
It's been a nice day. The rain stopped.
Did you call all this rain? Were you correct about this?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
It's not that hard right now when you see the big green of blobs coming on the radar, is it?
Oh.
It's going to rain.
Thankfully, it should not rain this afternoon.
And it should be a good week,
slight
correct?
Chance. But
relatively good week?
Relatively.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, better than the past couple of weeks.
Yes.
So, yeah, we certainly don't need any more rain.
We're not in a drought anymore, are we?
No. We asked this last week. And
I know. Well,
he had a technical term that he had used last week.
Abnormally dry.
That's right, abnormally dry.
My understanding is that the central New Hampshire was out of the drought.
Okay.
And northern New Hampshire was still in the drought.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know how factual that is.
Well, so I think weather-wise, it seems to be central and southern that's been getting hit.
Right.
So, I mean, that makes sense. And they didn't have a whole lot of snow this winter. So possibly.
The ground's wet out there. I don't know if you noticed.
It's mushy.
It's very mushy.
Mushy,
mushy. The grass looks like it's early May.
Yeah.
The way that it's growing.
Yeah, it's growing crazy.
And again, don't quote me on this. I'm just, social media stuff, that we had surpassed the record rainfall in July on July 17th.
Yeah.
Yes, I did hear that. The wettest July ever.
Wow. Yeah. And wasn't June the warmest June ever?
Yeah, warmest June. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
How do you feel about climate change?
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's what it is.
It's all cyclical. Don't get me going on that stuff.
Oh geez.
So I'm fine. You know, if New England's climate were to change so that it were going to be warmer all the time, I might stick around.
The season of yuck would be a little bit shorter.
If the season of yuck was a lot shorter and didn't exist, it'd be a great place to live year round.
Okay.
So, we'll see what happens. Did you see, speaking of, not really the season of yuck, because this has nothing to do with the season of yuck, but the borders are going to be opened up to Canada starting on August 9th.
I did see that.
That is exciting. Yeah. I mean, I love our neighbors to the north, Canada. Yeah. I don't really have any plans to head up there, but it's great for people. It's going to be great for tourism and allowing our friends from the north to come down and visit us.
I saw that they gave the Toronto Blue Jays an exemption.
Yeah, July 30th, right?
Yeah, they're allowed to go back and forth.
Yep, to be able to play in their home ballpark, which they haven't been in a couple of years.
Hopefully it stays open.
Sure.
I mean, you see this Delta variant and all that kind of stuff.
Know.
And
it
just doesn't want to go away.
No,
it isn't, really
and, and I don't think it is, but I think, well, I guess it doesn't matter what I think. I think we need to live our lives. Sure, take some precautions, but at the same time, live your life, because something's going to get all of us someday. And,
monkeypox?
I know I can speak for you, and we're not really violating HIPAA and all that stuff, but, both of us have been vaccinated, and, we're doing our thing, and obviously it's gonna be that the flu's been there, and it's everything's around us.
And you're not completely out of the woods if you're vaccinated, but your chances are...
Surviving are better.
Surviving, or even just getting really sick.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still feel it, but... You're not going to get quite as sick, so you can live your lives normal.
Absolutely. And now
you're traveling in a couple weeks.
I am. I'm doing a little bit of traveling. I'm heading out of country. I'm heading to Puerto Rico, which I'm excited about. And then after that, I'm actually heading down to Florida just for a few days.
Nice.
Which will be nice. I always have some backup plans, though. I'm sure that Eric is prepared for this, that if I ever need to do the show from a hospital bed, I'll be prepared. I'm ready. So, I mean, heck, I did it in my driveway in a car.
That is true.
We did that.
We both quarantined and did our show.
Before you actually officially start the show, I mean, you do earn some you earned some congratulations. You're getting those congratulations now. You hit a hole in one, my friend, the other day, which is pretty darn impressive. So, congratulations about that. I asked some stuff,
pretty darn lucky. A hole in one's is lucky.
Yeah, but you still have to have enough skill, which clearly you have, to make sure that you're hitting the ball exactly correct to be able to at least be in the vicinity of the cup. And then maybe there is a little bit of luck from once it hits
the
green.
There's a lot of luck.
But that's exciting.
I know guys who play golf for the second or third time that get hole in one.
Wow.
So it's there's a lot of luck involved. I happen to have got lucky for my second time.
Okay, so this you have two of them now,
yes.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we had talked, I don't know, I guess it was a while ago, maybe back in the fall, we had talked about Christo Zavis had hit a hole on one, which is exciting. And that's, I mean, he was, what, 14 years old?
Yeah, and so a novice.
Yeah, a novice, and so you just never know. But still, congratulations.
Thank you. That's exciting.
I wish I had been around the 19th hole that day, but unfortunately, I wasn't.
I was thankful I had insurance.
Yeah, that's great.
So
that's good.
Makes a difference. Mike and the Haas is powered by the Yum Yum Shop and located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro. It can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Haas or WASR to receive $5 off a Gingy Box. You can always join our conversation at 569 Lake, 569-5253. You know what today's day is?
Well, today's Eric's Wonders.
Eric's Wonders today.
Yeah.
Eric's
and,
Wonders.
And
it's going to come up at the bottom of the hour.
Bottom of the hour. But you know what else it is? We're going to have a guest today. We're going to have Amelia Osgood, and I'm looking forward to talking to her. She's kind of a local kid, kind of made it big time, and we're gonna talk about her career. She kind of started here in Wolfboro and has moved on to maybe bigger and better things, and we're gonna have an opportunity to chat with her at 4:15.
Awesome. And we got some Red Sox talk, and I guess we're probably gonna spend most of the show talking Red Sox in one form or another.
Yeah. Now who I keep forgetting, Eric's Wonders is brought to you by Skelly's Market. And what is that? The convenience store
with a little more.
Absolutely. Which is exciting. And the other thing I wanted to say, Mike, there's never a bad time. You got me thinking about this, and I know Eric and I are always on the same wavelength with this. There's never a bad time to have a gingerbread cookie.
No, there really isn't.
I mean, any season. Yeah,
you
I mean,
gotta
that's
have the frosting.
That's what you like. I support that if you like the frosting.
You got to have the frosting.
But, it's good stuff.
All right. Did you watch any baseball this weekend?
Bits and pieces because it was Red Sox Yankees.
Yeah, and
I certainly didn't watch the first game because that was the COVID game. The Friday game.
So that game was canceled.
Yep.
And then I really kind of want to focus on. I mean, you're going to focus on Saturday's game. I'm going to focus on Sunday's game.
Okay.
A little bit, which was last night.
Yeah.
And
Sunday night baseball.
The Red Sox got blown out, and we'll talk about the details of the game and everything like that. But
sure.
Umpires. Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely horrible. I mean, as bad of a game as you could probably have.
Right.
Missing the strike zone all night long, just challenge after challenge because they were getting the play wrong on the bases.
Right.
The game went in forever. Again, the Red Sox got smoked. But my take is that, yes, the umpires had a really, really bad game, but we should still have human umpires.
Yeah.
Last night was the greatest example of why we should have automated umpiring.
Yes.
And I still think that we should have human umpires.
Right.
Because it was part of the game. And I mean, I can even talk about Saturday. I thought Saturday the umpiring was horrible, too.
Yeah. Well, Saturday shouldn't even have been planned.
Do you follow that on Twitter? I can't use it. It's up on my phone.
Yeah.
They rate the umpires after each game.
No, I'll have to check that out.
Check that out. And so you get on your Twitter feed, you'll get the rating of New York versus Boston. And there's a lot of analytics that are involved with it. But basically, it's overall sum, kind of like a war, about which way the umpires ended up favoring.
Okay, which team?
Which team, by what percentage.
Now, who's doing the analytics? Like, who's...
I
know your phone's up there.
My phone's up there. It's... I don't think it's one person. I mean,
right.
I think that they have a group of them that are crunching numbers, for lack of a better word, that to figure this out. And they also talk about pivotal calls,
mm-hmm.
you know, that should have gone the other way and how they impacted the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably an umpire's worst nightmare that this is out there.
Oh, sure.
Because they really are being judged. But I've been, you know, belonged to this site for about a month now. There's games that are tipped unevenly. But I will say, though, that the result of the game doesn't coincide with how they're tipped.
Okay.
So some team may get
some bad calls, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to lose the game.
And I didn't get a chance to look at the Red Sox Yankees one last night, but I'm sure just the eyesight test, it was tipped towards the Yankees.
Yeah.
And the Yankees won.
I think the thing that frustrates me most is once you kind of, you know, and this is more of an NFL term, but once you go under the hood, or if you're gonna review a play in baseball, I don't know how you can screw that up. I mean, the camera doesn't lie. You can look at it from 50,000 different angles. I mean, you got four or five guys looking at it, and you can look at it back at headquarters. And that's what really frustrates me, because they show it to the fans, you know, us watching at home, and we get to see all the different angles, and that's frustrating.
I wish they wouldn't. Everybody in New York, you know, they're whatever the hub is at MLB, is watching the game.
Right.
And similar to what they're doing now in the NFL, is that click a button, say, hey, you get that call wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking balls and strikes.
Yeah, no, that would be
but,
terrible.
You know, a play at first, or the home run ball. So there was a home run, I think it was the second home run that was hit on Saturday. The kid reached over the fence a little bit. And so, you know what? Just in real time, it kind of looked like he reached below the fence line, and that maybe that wasn't a home run.
Right.
So they reviewed it. They ended up reviewing it, and they deemed it to be a home run, but that was 4 or 5 minutes of time that somebody just staring at the video screen in New York has said, home run.
Yeah.
Not a home run.
Yeah.
Why?
Make that decision.
Need more black and white decisions with that.
Right.
And
quickly.
Right. Yeah. And they don't need, and just have an earpiece in the home plate umpire or whoever the crew chief is. Say, yeah, that was a home run.
Yeah.
And then let's move on.
Right. I agree with that. Because, I mean, and you see that. You see it, I mean, maybe less so in baseball, but in other sports where you have a momentum shift. I mean, some big play happens, and then all of a sudden we're going to review the thing for 5 or 6 minutes. Everybody's just, like, deflated. Like, you know, there's no longer that momentum, which is such a huge part of the game.
Well, I think a momentum shift happened on Saturday with something that you're going to talk about.
Sure. You want me to go into my take?
Yeah, go right into yours.
So, Eric, did you catch any of the Red Sox action this weekend?
No, I didn't.
I don't know if you heard about this, but the left fielder for the Red Sox, Alex Verdugo.
I did hear about
that. Yeah, so what he decided to do, and this was a good thing, JBJ, just so you know, would not do this. Alex Verdugo decided he saw a Red Sox fan, a kid, in the left field stands. And so, you know, as they warm up, they throw the ball around, and typically before the inning starts, they take the ball and they throw it into the stands to a fan. So he decided to throw it to a Red Sox fan, a kid. His aim was a little off, and it ended up in the hands of a Yankees fan. Now, the guy that had the ball was definitely instructed by those in the bleachers. So you bleacher creatures, I mean, I know you've been to baseball games. It can get pretty wild out there. There's a lot of adult beverages flowing, a lot of yelling. Plus, they're Yankees fans, so they're nasty to begin with. So they were encouraging this Yankees fan who now had the ball thrown by a Red Sox player to throw the ball back. So they're chanting, you know, throw it back, throw it back. And the Yankee fan, I'm still gonna blame him, but at the same time, he was wrapped up in all this, you know, enthusiasm, people encouraging him, peer pressure, if you want to call it that. So he threw the ball back onto the field, and whether he meant to or not, it hit Alex Verdugo right in the back. So he threw a baseball and hit him in the back, and Alex Verdugo, justifiably so, went crazy, turned around and started screaming and pointing, and you know, the fact that, I don't know if you've ever been hit by a baseball, but it's not comfortable.
Not in the major league,
yeah,
no.
But just, you know, and the fact that this happened to him, he went absolutely nuts.
They were holding him back.
I can't blame him.
No, they were holding him back from. He wanted to go in the stands.
He wanted to. Yeah,
he was going to be the Bruins Islanders.
He was going to go into the stands and grab that fan.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is, of course, you know, Yankees fans being Yankees fans, they encouraged this guy to throw the ball, and then they sold him out. You know, they're like, you know, they're pointing at,
he did it,
and you know, security got involved, and security ended up escorting the player out of the stadium. But here's the interesting thing: the player was taken out of the stadium, but there were no charges pressed. So, you know, he didn't get arrested or anything like that. He was just escorted out of the stadium. Here's where I have a problem, or I don't know if it's a problem. I don't know if the guy should be arrested. We can talk about that, Mike. But what I have a problem is, if you remember back to the basketball season, Kyrie Irving, who's on our list of some of the most hated players, Kyrie Irving plays for the Brooklyn Nets, and a Boston fan threw an empty water bottle, or half full water bottle, right here, plastic water bottle, so you guys can see it on Facebook Live, threw it from the stands at Kyrie Irving. It missed Kyrie Irving, and that person was arrested and charged with assault with a deadly weapon. And he didn't even hit Kyrie Irving. And it became the first take on, you know, Stephen A. Smith. And it was like the biggest thing in the world that, you know, how dare somebody throw a water bottle at Kyrie Irving? You know, it could have ended his career. And then we have the Alex Verdugo going on at Yankee Stadium 2 days ago. And nobody's talking about it. Nobody cares. It's here. It's there. But it's not the headlines of ESPN. It's not the headlines of all these other sports agencies. Everybody's just kind of like, they were more focused on Alex Verdugo wanting to run into the stands and get revenge for being having a ball thrown at him. So I'm asking you, Mike, is this a double standard? Why is this you know, kid from Boston charged with assault with a deadly weapon and this kid from New York given a free pass? Yeah, you're going to say, oh, he was banned from life from Major League Baseball games and banned.
Wait to hear what I'm going to say.
But I'm just saying, let me fill it one more time, and banned from Major League Baseball games, which is something you can't enforce.
There's actually an event that happened a few years ago that is happened at Fenway Park. Do you remember? I think it was A-Rod who hit the home run. I'm pretty sure it was A-Rod who hit the home run into the left field bleachers. I know we're way over, Eric. But into the left field bleachers, and the kid threw it back. And A-Rod was – no, it wasn't A-Rod. Maybe it was Juan Carlos Stanton.
Okay.
But he was rounding second base. Kid threw the ball back, bounced once, and hit either Stanton or A-Rod as he was rounding second base.
Yeah.
Nothing happened to him.
Let's talk a little bit about this after we speak with Amelia.
Okay. Mike and the Haas.
Mike and the Haas is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or DuranIndependentInsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you.
Hey, this is Mike and Charlie from Mike and the Haas. If you're looking for a great night out, try the Full Belly Bar and Grill at Kingswood Country Club. The Bar and Grill is a delicious Friday night prime rib for $20, plus additional food and drink specials every night.
Hey, Mike, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro for some of the tastiest subs in town. You have to try the Full Belly Deli. Both restaurants offer delivery and takeout. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955.
And you can reach the Bar and Grill at 603-569-9869. And check out the 2021 Summer Concert Series on the Full Belly Bar and Grill Facebook page.
Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to.
Welcome back to Mike and the Haas. Before we get to Amelia, I want to mention for the Full Belly Bar and Grill, their concert this Saturday is April Cushman. So all you country music fans, April Cushman.
Could put my country boots on and jeans. We should go.
Do you have country boots?
No, I don't have cowboy boots. And I don't wear jeans either.
So wear some Daisy Dukes out there?
Oh, my gosh. That would really draw the crowds in.
It would. It really would. We have a guest on the line.
We do. Amelia, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hey, Amelia, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How about you guys?
Excellent. Super excited that you're joining us on Mike and the Haas on WASR. I do want to, before we start, you know, peppering you with questions, I wanted to let you know that I didn't receive my invitation to join you guys for breakfast when you and Abby and the crew went out. So I don't know.
Your name came up, though. We talked about you.
Oh, that's good. No. I hope it was positive thoughts and talk.
So, all good things.
Yeah, right on. Well, first off, I just want to say congratulations. Yeah, I know that you're a recent high school graduate and you're heading off to school next year. So congratulations. It's a great summer for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Are you back home or are you actually still in Wolfboro?
I am back home. We drove home on Monday this past week.
Okay.
So yes,
all right. Well, what we wanted to do, Mike and I, obviously we both know you very well. We just wanted to talk a little bit about what I kind of refer to as your humble beginnings here in Wolfboro with your basketball career, and then kind of taking us through to, you know, the fact that you're going to Princeton this fall and playing some Division I basketball and all the amazing things that you've done over the past few years. So, you know, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got the basketball bug and how all that started?
Yeah, I really started playing basketball around third grade almost every day. My dad really introduced me to the game, and we would go watch a lot of Brewster games, and we would play at Carpenter School Gym. And I think that's really where the habits that I created started off. And from then on, I went on to play, you know, rec basketball when I was little. And then I played with the Winnie Kings when I was there in sixth grade. And then sixth grade, going into seventh grade, I moved down to Brentwood, Tennessee. And in seventh grade, I actually broke my shoulder, which was unfortunate, but I was able to recover good from that. Eighth grade, had a great middle school year, and then my high school career was amazing, playing travel basketball throughout. I played up in New Hampshire for the Granite State Rockettes and the New England Crusaders, and then here I played for Tennessee Flight for 1 year, and then Team Be Right throughout high school, and it was amazing. So,
Amelia, what position do you play?
I played point guard all 4 years for high school, and then a shooting guard throughout my travel basketball career.
And at Princeton, how were you recruited? Were you recruited as a shooting guard or a point guard?
I was really recruited as a combo guard because I'm able to do both. But definitely shooting was how they saw me in travel basketball. So I think I'll be playing quite a bit of shooting guard, but they really liked how I was able to do both.
Amelia, talk a little bit about the recruiting process and you know, how did you first get noticed, and what other schools did you take a look at, and how did you eventually decide on Princeton?
Yeah, so I started to get recruited, I think, eighth grade summer going into ninth with different schools looking at me through travel basketball, really. And, I mean, it's just a lot of hard work that gets up to that point, and I always knew I wanted to play Division I basketball. And so throughout my high school career, I got recruited by several schools. I ended up with 14 or 15 Division I offers, and I got to visit a lot of schools, got to go to quite a few camps, which was amazing experiences, and I got to learn a lot and see a lot of different places. But Princeton just combined everything that I wanted in a school, academically and athletically, and the people just seemed amazing there.
That's awesome. What are you planning on studying while you're at Princeton?
I'm really undecided with my major. I'm leaning towards something in the sciences, but I'm going to start off on the pre-med track.
Okay, that's a good spot.
Amelia, how is the Princeton girls basketball team? How have they ranked out through the years?
They have been very successful. They didn't get to play this past year because of COVID, but the past 3 years before that, they won the Ivy Championship and got to go play in the NCAA tournament, and they had a fantastic year. Not last year, the year before, where they had the number 5 draft pick, and they only lost one game, I think. They were on a roll, but got cut short going to the NCAA tournament because of COVID, so...
I mean, obviously, that's extremely exciting that you're going to Princeton. I've heard academics there are pretty good. you'll get by, Amelia. I know we can't predict the future, but you know, obviously, let's assume you're going to go pre-med or sciences and maybe medical schools in your future or some type of grad school. But do you want to continue? If you have the opportunity, would you continue playing basketball post college?
I would absolutely love to play basketball post college. I'm just working as hard as I can, getting ready for this next level, and definitely will be working throughout my college career. If there's an opportunity to play afterwards, then yeah, we'll continue taking it year by year, but that would be a long goal for the future. Yes, sir.
Amelia, were you able to play other sports while you were in middle school, high school, or were you just primarily focused on basketball?
Well, basketball had always been my main sport, but I was able to play field hockey when I was up in New Hampshire. I got to run cross country in middle school, and then I did track actually my sophomore year. And a lot of it was to keep in shape for basketball, but I also really enjoyed teammates in those sports and, yeah, competing in anything.
Right. Can you tell us, talk to us now, you know, now obviously going off to play Division I basketball, what is a typical day in your world look like as far as conditioning and preparing specifically for basketball? You know, what types of drills do you do? You know, what type of weightlifting do you do? Just so people that are hearing you and want, especially young ladies that want to play whatever sport it is at the next level, kind of understand the commitment that you put into this.
100%. This summer, I've been doing 6 days a week of alternating lifting and conditioning, and then also basketball every day. So usually right now I've been doing mid-morning where I'll go and run at the track at my high school, or I'll go to the Y and I'll do a lift. And those workouts were actually given to me by the Princeton strength and conditioning coach. So I don't have to be there this summer. It was nice they were able to give us that, and we'll have some benchmark things we have to complete when we get there. But we're all just working up to that and just holding ourselves and each other accountable. But so I do that mid-morning usually, and then play basketball, usually with my dad, or maybe some pickup or some different things at the Y. In the afternoon, so
that's great.
Yeah.
So you're really, I mean, you're putting in the time and you're putting in a lot of work, which is awesome. When do you report to Princeton, and when does the preseason technically begin?
I will report on August 21st is move-in day.
Okay.
I just went up to a camp when I was headed up to New Hampshire. I worked a one-day camp at Princeton, which was nice to see my coaches and stuff. Got to work with some kids that were hoping to be recruited too. And then I'm going to be going up July 31st and August 1st for another two-day camp to work. And then I'll really go, and training will start with the team and everything right when we get to school.
Do you know any of the girls that are on the team right now? Have you, like, had a chance to interact with them?
It's been amazing how they set up weekly meetings where we got to do one-on-one meetings with each other. So I've met every single person on the team, and then also we have team Zooms. We could go a month with the team Zoom, or it could be 2 weeks in between. So it's been nice that we've gotten both one-on-one time and then also as a whole group virtually because of COVID, but yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, if you don't mind, we'd love to touch base with you maybe during the season, especially as you guys get close to the tournament. We'd love to chat with you again just to see how things are going. Would that be something you'd be interested in doing?
Definitely.
Awesome.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, best of luck for move-in day. Best of luck, obviously, with your academics. Tell your family that I said hi. And thank you so much for joining us on WASR. We wish you the best as you move into Princeton University.
I will. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Amelia.
Bye, Amelia.
Bye.
That's great. I love
this little story.
Local
yeah.
kid. I mean, obviously she was very close friends with my daughter, Abby,
right.
And just growing up and playing basketball. And just to throw this out there, this is something. Abby played basketball, my Abby, for one day. So she was actually on the same court with Amelia Osgood for one day.
That would be a good story. She makes it to the WNBA.
WNBA, yeah.
So Abby could say she taught her everything she knows.
Yeah, what a heck of a player, though, in Amelia.
Speaking of basketball, we only have a minute, which is about what it's worth right now. The NBA Finals. I don't think we got it right.
No, we certainly. Well, it's not over yet, but it's
the
Bucks are looking pretty good. We wanted the Suns to win it,
and the Suns were looking really good after those first two games.
Yeah.
We said, "Oh my God, they're
this
playing as a team."
It.
Blah blah
yeah.
blah. And then things changed.
The wheels fell off.
Yeah,
yep.
And so Milwaukee has run off three consecutive wins.
Yeah.
And they look pretty good.
They look really good.
Giannis looks pretty good.
You talk about momentum.
Yeah.
They got it going for him. So Chris Paul may not get his championship.
Is LeBron there supporting Chris Paul, or is he recruiting Chris Paul?
I'm sure he's there recruiting Chris Paul.
I think
yeah,
so,
he's
too.
He's not there as a fan. So.
He's just, but again, you know, front row LeBron. That's what you're calling now, front row LeBron, because he's got to be in the front row.
Yeah, he has to be seen, and every camera comes down and shows LeBron. Yeah. You know who was there, though, that I got excited about? Adele. I like Adele. I think she's got a beautiful voice.
Okay.
And she was at the game.
That's
so
was she in the front row, too?
I don't know if it was front row, but, you know, it's kind of the who's who of celebrities.
Well, I used to like watching when the Celtics played the Lakers in that front row. It was Diane Cannon and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Nicholson.
All those guys, in the front row.
Icon. And, yeah, absolutely.
It was good stuff. Yeah. When we come back, it's going to be time for Eric's Wonders, brought to you by Skelly's Market.
The convenience store with a little more.
All right, Mike and the Hoss.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Hoss. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your healthcare needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Hoss. If you're in the real estate market, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Fay brings 30 years' experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Fay, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Fay. No one knows the local market better than Fay, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or Verani.com.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss at yumyumshop.com.
Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss on WASR, 569-5253, 569 Lake, if you want to join our conversation. So Eric's Wonders, brought to you by Skelly's Market.
The convenience store with a little more.
Eric was wondering, why do players wear eye black?
Yes. And not just any players. So he was talking specifically about baseball players, football players, even lacrosse players.
So any player?
Well, not basketball players.
Well, they don't wear eye black.
Well, I'm just saying. I just wanted to clarify for when we're saying which players wear eye black.
Players that wear eye black.
Yeah. Players that typically play outside.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So why? Do you know who else wore eye black? NHL players, when they played outside,
yeah,
they put on some eye black.
Makes sense. Why, though? Why do they put on eye black?
Well,
Mike?
Because eye black is used to reduce the glare from the sun or the lights. Now, there's Eric's Wonders, again, it's great because then I always, you reduce the glare, but then you go deeper and deeper. And does eye black work?
You got to look at the science behind
it. Yes. So originally, eye black is a grease or strip applied under the eyes to reduce glare. Although studies have not conclusively proven its effectiveness, it is often used by football, baseball, and lacrosse players to mitigate the effects of bright sunlight. So it's used for that. Now, let's go a little bit of history of this.
So before you say that, can I add a little something?
Of course you can.
So typically, like if we were outside playing, Eric, playing baseball or whatever, and it was sunny, if the sun came off of your cheekbone, it could reflect. There could be some glare that went into your eye, which would make it difficult to catch like a pop fly ball. So having that black there, the science is what they're saying with the science, and we'll talk about this. Michael, talk about this, is that the light is absorbed by the black, so you don't have that glare coming back to blind you. So that's the belief behind it.
There are some different schools out there, Eric, on whether people think that it's real, and they've done some science on this, and we'll talk about those in a second. But originally, Paul Lucas, who is a writer for ESPN, he said, glare schmear. The real reason that everyone wears eye black is that it looks totally cool, like modern war paint. And I can tell you, when I was playing, and I played ball in college,
sure,
when I put that eye black on, had nothing to do with the glare.
No, you were invincible.
I just wanted
intimidating. You wanted to intimidate your opponent.
That's exactly
it. The pitcher, looking at the pitcher, look at my eye black.
You know, the kids sometimes my middle school teams will put it on.
Yeah.
And they do it because they want to look cool.
Right.
And it doesn't really have anything to do with the glare.
Did you know that in high school football, especially here in New Hampshire, so you can wear it, but if you start to do like fancy things with it, it's actually illegal, and the referee will have you remove your eye black.
Really?
Yeah.
You see in the NFL, they smear it down their faces.
You know, I mean, smear is one thing. Like, that's going to happen because of sweat and all that. But you can't, like, you know, a lot of people will you know, make, like, logos and things, and that's not legal.
Why?
It's purely supposed to be for intimidation.
Yes, rhetorical.
So,
but
yeah.
One of the earliest known instances of player wearing eye black in baseball was Babe Ruth.
Wow.
Yes. Who in around 1930s used the grease in an attempt to reduce sun glare. So he did it for sun glare. Mm-hmm. Babe Ruth. The original eye black was made from the ashes of burned cork. So then they started to do science studies on this, and one of the early ones was the University of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Did it. So it was Benjamin R. Powers found that eye black to reduce glare from the sun in women and in those whose eye color was not blue.
Mm-hmm.
They said that it worked in women. The men's study was inconclusive.
Right. This study wasn't that long ago. Just, you know, it was like 2002.
Right. And then my favorite, Mythbusters, because
they always do these things. Do you like Mythbusters?
I do. Yes.
Yeah, that's such a great show.
So they tested whether eye black reduces glare. They determined that while eye black does not eliminate glare, it does improve an athlete's ability to differentiate between light and dark, enhancing a player's ability to track moving objects in a sunny environment. So I found that to be pretty interesting, and I trust Mythbusters. That's high-end science right there.
Yeah, and I think part of it might even be, I mean, it just could be, you know, just mental, right? You think if I put the eye black on, I can see things better. So, I mean, and if that's part of it, great. But a lot of people, and we'll use Tim Tebow as an example. Tim Tebow would use the strips for, you know, Bible verses and things like that or to convey some type of message. Other players have done that as well. And that's become popular. But I'm just like Mike. When I would put eye black on in high school, it had nothing to do. I mean, I didn't have to see anything, really. It had to do with the fact that it looked really cool and you were trying to intimidate your opponent. And look how awesome I look with eye black on. So
then after the game, you're all sweaty and your face is dirty and it's smudged down your face. And
plus, you're a teenager, so your skin isn't the greatest anyway. And then I would break out and it was just a mess. So, but does that answer your question?
It does, yes. Right.
We should actually sit around. The three of us should sit around with eye black on. While we're doing the show,
I thought about bringing it in. I actually thought about bringing it in today for Facebook Live. Just the dress shirt wasn't going to help.
Put some eye black on. That'd be awesome.
All right, I want to get back to the Red Sox.
Okay,
because they lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees this weekend. They're only a half a game lead. What looks so promising on Friday did not look that great on Saturday and Sunday. Their bats went cold.
Yeah.
Some positives. So we'll start with Friday. Tanner Houck, did you catch his?
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch any of the game Friday?
Bits and pieces.
So Tanner Houck pitched the last 3 innings.
Yep.
Unhittable. Unhittable.
Yep.
He's going to be somebody Red Sox are excited about. He is supposed to get the start Wednesday, I believe.
Right.
I think he's going to get the start Wednesday.
They got the Blue Jays.
They're putting him into the starting rotation.
Stick him in there.
Right. Unhittable on Friday. So that was good.
Yeah.
Duran.
Yeah, Jared Duran came up. I mean, first pitch, base
first pitch hit. And
did you see how is? I mean, I would be the same way. Did you see how excited his father was?
I know it was. He's older.
Such a good moment.
24 years old.
Yeah,
that's old.
That's old for someone being called up.
And I didn't have time. I want to look and see. You know why? There's so much hype around somebody who's 24 years old.
Yeah.
Usually that hype is around somebody who's 18, 19.
Right.
You know, see Rafael Devers or Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, 24 years
Both
old.
Both those guys
came
up when
they're
19.
Yeah.
But 24 in this day and age,
you're an old man.
It used to be where 24, 25 is when you finally got called up.
You got to break in.
But I don't understand what the delay was. Maybe it was COVID. Missed the whole minor league season last year, which would be a reason. You know, we could be talking about it at 23 or 22, and that's a different discussion. But, yeah, so
it was great to see him and see him do
fast,
well.
Fast.
Oh,
he scored the only run, the Red Sox, on Friday night.
Yep.
We mentioned the umpiring was awful, just the decisions of the rain delay. And it was not a good weekend for the Red Sox
no.
or baseball in general, I didn't think. We mentioned the Verdugo stuff, but something else happened, too. with Veritech's family.
Oh, yes. I forgot to mention that. So Jason Veritech, Tech's wife, reported that his daughter, a 9-year-old daughter, was spit on by a Yankees fan. And so, you know, her name's Catherine Veritech. She came out and just really, you know, berated the Yankees fans and the fact that just because the daughter was wearing a Jason Veritech jersey that these fans would do that. Now, I want to tell you, Mike, we've been to Yankee Stadium. We've been to Fenway Park. You know that I cannot stand Yankee fans. But at the same time, just because I can't stand a Yankee fan, I would like to think, I mean, I have some friends that are Yankees fans, that we could sit down and appreciate baseball and talk baseball, and my friend would not spit or throw a baseball at someone or be nasty towards a Red Sox fan, other than maybe verbal. And I can live with the verbal harassment, but I have a really hard time when it turns physical.
Well, of course.
It's just frustrating.
You know, I'm sure that the liquor was flowing by the end of that game.
I'm sure.
And that's, you know, added to it a little bit. Yeah. We had talked in football, the NFL, about would you wear a Patriots jersey to a Jets game?
Right. And if you – I mean, so, I probably would and you probably would just because we know by doing that we're going to get some abuse.
Would you let – when Abby was 9 – would you have let her wear a Red Sox jersey in Yankee Stadium?
Absolutely not.
In the general population? General, it wasn't players' interest, players' wives, all that kind of
thing. To be honest with you, when I took Jonathan to Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, when he was 9 or whatever, and we did not wear Red Sox gear.
Right.
Yeah, because we knew. I mean, we certainly cheered for the Red Sox, but we were not parading around as Red Sox fans.
I think you get what you're asking for, because that's certainly not the case, but you definitely heighten the risk that this is going to happen to you if you are wearing Jason Veritech jersey. And I'm sure this person that spit on him didn't know that it was Veritech's daughter. That might have been worse.
There's a lot of issues here. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they didn't know that it was his daughter. It was a 9-year-old little girl.
Yes, I'm not.
I mean, there's like,
but,
you know.
This becomes a parenting decision about exposing your daughter. You're at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
It's not like you're new to the rivalry. Veritech punched A-Rod in the face, for crying out loud.
Right.
So it's common, you know, it's dining room talk over there. I just don't agree with having your 9-year-old daughter wear the Red Sox jersey to a Yankee Stadium game. I don't think it's a great idea. I'm not excusing what happened.
Right, as long as you're not excusing.
We should
as a society be at a point where Red Sox and Yankees fans don't like each other, but it shouldn't get to the point where we're spitting and pushing and hurting and all that.
I totally agree. Yeah. I'm just saying the decision by the Veritechs to allow their daughter to wear that Red Sox jersey, is it taunting a little bit? Taunting the Yankees fans?
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that because it kind of gives the middle finger to A-Rod.
So you went with your son, and you didn't wear Red Sox stuff.
No.
I wouldn't wear a Patriots jersey to a Jets game.
No. Maybe if the two of us went, we could.
I would want about 40 other people, and I'd still be, you know, thinking that it was probably not that safe.
Right.
I would definitely not put my 9-year-old child, though, in a Red Sox jersey.
Yeah.
At a Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Yankee Stadium.
But it just kind of it goes to show you, and I don't want to say, I mean, if people want to call in 569-5253, people are going to say the same thing if you wore a Yankees jersey to Fenway Park. But I don't think that's true. Because I mean, yes, I'm biased. Yes, I'm a Red Sox fan. But you know what? I've seen Red Sox fans, even liquored up Red Sox fans, that don't treat Yankees fans as poorly as Yankees fans treat Red Sox fans in Yankee Stadium.
I've seen it the other way around. I've seen in the bleachers a guy who wore his Yankee jersey, and he knew he was going to get abused.
Yeah.
And beers being thrown on him. And now, in defense of this person, not necessarily seen it all the time, but in defense of this person, they knew they were going to get it. They didn't come around and start swinging or anything. Like they did it. They were taunting.
Yeah.
They ended up on the short end of the stick. Beers were thrown at them.
Popcorn, all that kind of stuff. They sucked it up
and took
the abuse.
And then they walked out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
the last thing I'm going to do is throw a $15 beer at anybody. No, thank you.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, did you see the highlight? Foul ball was hit into the stands.
Yeah.
The guy has his 2-year-old daughter in one hand.
Yeah, the baby, right?
And a beer in the other hand.
Yes.
He's got his 2-year-old daughter in his left hand. He's got a beer in his right hand. A foul ball's hit. He's walking by. He lets go of the baby.
Yeah.
Catches the ball, and then is able to catch the baby before she hits the ground, before she even went past his hip.
Yeah, and the most important thing?
He didn't spill the beer.
The beer didn't spill.
He didn't spill the beer.
Yeah, but, so I wonder how his wife felt about that evening.
I don't know. That, to me, that's dad of the year right there. That is That's impressive stuff.
That is. That is.
When we come back, we're going to have some cool facts. But you are late 40s now there, big boy. Are you turning 50 yet?
I'm not a 50. I am not 50.
It's coming up, though.
I'm getting close.
It's coming
up. Close, yes. Still in my 40s.
Would you wear, right now, if I said, we have tickets to the Red Sox game in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah.
Well, please, I'm going to New York tomorrow.
Okay.
And
are you really?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
I don't walk around the streets with my Red Sox hat.
No. No. Because, to answer your question, no, I'm not going to wear Red Sox gear to Yankee Stadium.
I'm just asking for... Yeah. I'm asking for a little bit of abuse, right. And I'm not looking to go to New York and get abused by anybody.
I don't want to get abused. I don't want, yeah.
I go back there. Would you wear a Red Sox jersey to the Yankee Stadium?
I'm not, no, I won't.
Would you have your 9-year-old daughter wear a Red Sox jersey to Yankee
Heck
Stadium?
No.
Do they own a little bit of it?
Yeah, they have to own a little bit of it, of course.
All right, Mike and the Haas, we'll be right back.
Mike and the Haas is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit.
Are you getting married, celebrating anniversary? Or just want to bring something beautiful to that holiday celebration? Lindis Flowers has been serving the Lakes region since 2003. They specialize in fresh-cut flowers, bouquets, plants, and gifts. Lindis Flowers is owned by Gwen, who is a Wolfboro native and focused on serving the local community. 569-4513, or stop by their shop, 91 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. The shop is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 1. You can also visit their website at flowersinwolfboronh.com, and Lindis Flowers will deliver right to your door. Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their gingy boxes. Gingy boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Haas to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a gingy box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Haas at yumyumshot.com.
Welcome back to Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. It is time for Cool Facts.
Yeah, who's looking for a sponsor? Before we do Cool Facts, I know that Josh Spalding is planning to leave for Tokyo on Wednesday. I know he's posted a few things on Facebook. Congratulations, Josh. His first COVID test he posted came back negative, which is a good thing. And I know that he was a little down in the dumps about, you know, not everything not kind of lining up, but I'm just wishing him the best. I know that he's going to have a great time, and I know it's all going to work out, Josh, and you deserve it, and I know that it's an important part of what you do, and I think it's just exciting that he's going to be covering the Olympics and taking the opportunity to give us a call, hopefully on Thursday, so we can check in with him while he's still quarantining. So safe travels, Josh, to Tokyo. And kind of in your honor today, Josh Spalding, we have some cool facts that are Olympic themed. So this is really for Eric and for Mike, but have you guys ever seen Olympians after they win their medal kind of biting their medals during an awards ceremony? They're certainly not paying attention to me.
I'm not sorry.
No, that's okay. You guys are just doing your own thing.
I'll ask the question again.
Have you ever seen after somebody wins a medal, have you seen them bite their medal?
Yes.
Yes, yes. You see that all the time. Well, this goes back to ages past, and it's where merchants would check to see if coins were authentic, if it was truly the precious metal. And most times when they tried to kind of sneak one by you with a coin, it was made out of lead. So if you bit into a lead coin, your teeth would sink into it. So Olympic athletes bite into the coin, and we talked before in one of these shows that Olympic medals are not made of gold. They're only finished with gold if you get a gold medal. They're mostly made out of silver. And the last time that true Olympic gold medals existed was back in the 1904 Olympic Games.
Didn't we do I don't know if it was an heiress wonder or something, the value of...
We had talked about the value of the specific...
That a bronze is worth like medals. 38 cents or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, they're so... current medals, I mean, we're talking as far as monetary value, they're pretty insignificant.
Right.
Obviously, if you win a medal, whether it's bronze, silver, or gold, it's pretty darn amazing. Paralympics. The first one actually took place in Rome in 1960, and the reason for it was to allow war veterans a chance to compete and rehabilitate. Before that, there were instances where physically disabled athletes competed in the Olympics themselves. This was interesting. I thought in the 1904 games, Olympic gymnast George Iser won 6 medals with a wooden leg. Can you imagine that? Think about it. We talk about Simone, you know, what is it? Simone Biles.
Biles
and all the amazing things she does. So 1904, this Olympic gymnast got 6 medals with a wooden leg.
Did you see that COVID has hit the U.S. Olympic gymnastics team?
I did see that. I did see
and
that.
And that they won for sure.
Yeah.
And
which is just terrible timing.
The other one was a tennis player.
Yep.
Coco.
I don't know her last name. Yeah.
Her last name. But she's not able to go to Tokyo either.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it in there. So,
yeah, which is awful.
This was in the regular Olympics. This is not Paralympics that he did this, right?
That's right. In 1904. So, you know, going way back then.
And prosthetics were, in 1904, not the same as they are now.
No, this was like a legit, this is probably like somebody went to a mill and made this guy
this
a
like
leg.
Captain Hook with
a
wooden leg.
And like attached it to him. Yeah, this is not like, yeah, current modern day prosthetics. And here's the interesting thing. In 2014, as far as Paralympics, Ibrahim Harnado made history as he became a world champion in table tennis despite having no arms. He played with just having the racket in his mouth. That's pretty amazing.
2014.
Yeah. Ibrahim Harnado,
world champion in table tennis. So he beat people with arms.
No. This is Paralympics.
Oh, Paralympics.
Sorry, Paralympics.
Okay, all right.
But he did beat people with arms. But he had no arms, and he played table tennis with the racket in his mouth. That's pretty darn good. I mean, have you ever tried that?
No,
I've tried
table tennis.
I was going to say, table tennis with my hands is not very good, let alone trying to do it with my mouth.
That's amazing.
And here's something that I didn't know. So medal winners are not only inducted into, obviously, their nation's history and Olympic history, but they are also honored at the Olympic Stadium of that year's tournament. Their names are engraved on the walls of the stadium, allowing their legacy to be written in stone. Never knew that. And then if you look at some of the history pieces, and you can go back to some of the original games, obviously, you know, in ancient times, but the names of the athletes were written. And so they still do this in 2021.
One of the saddest things for me with the Olympics is the dismantling of these Olympic villages and the stadiums and how they just fall apart because there's nothing to put in them.
Right.
When I mentioned when we were in Barcelona, we went up to the Olympic Village, and they're trying to keep that, but there wasn't really anything going on there. You just toured it, but Sarajevo.
I was just going to say the Sarajevo. I mean, obviously, it's war torn there,
right?
But just that you see all the remnants of what was this grandeur, and now it's just ruins and overrun with, you know, plants and things like that.
Lake Placid, you know, they had it in New York, the 1980 Olympics. They have really tried hard to.
They use that
to keep that for tournaments coming, youth tournaments going.
They use it not only for the hockey piece, but they use it for the ski jumping and the ski racing. So that's still pretty active. And even Squaw Valley, when I was on the West Coast, Squaw Valley, I think it was 1960 Winter Olympics, and Squaw Valley is obviously a huge mountain out there that people use. But they still try to kind of keep that intact, and you know, they have the bobsled and things like that. So. They try to preserve some of it.
We don't have any bobsled or luge places in New Hampshire, do we?
No, I think they go out. I think they go out to Lake Placid. I think that's the closest on the East Coast.
I wonder if there's any kind of, with skiing and all
and
that kind of stuff.
Skeleton. Don't forget skeleton.
And we have tubing, but would there be any? I guess it'd probably be dangerous if you had like a bobsledding park where
you can go.
Eric would just pay $8 and bomb down in a luge.
That would be amazing. But you can if you go to Lake Placid, they let you ride the Olympic bobsled track, but you can't do the whole thing. You start at the halfway point
because they don't want you going too fast.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're not trained, obviously, then
you ever done up at Attitash the Alpine?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So if you go to like Mount Cranmore, have you been up to Cranmore? They have the Alpine slides. Attitash Alpine Slide. Now they have the mountain coasters.
Okay.
I mean, mountain coasters are great because I feel a lot safer in the mountain coaster. Alpine Slide, there's a little too much wiggle room.
You get some bankage
there. With a mountain coaster, you have a track, so you can just let it ride. and you don't have any fear of
flipping
off the track with Alpine Slide. You could kind of I could see myself going
Yeah, yeah. If you let go, you had the brake in the middle. You control how fast you were going. Yep. And
but the mountain coaster, the only time you have to stop is at the end, which you know, so you don't run into people.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Hey,
so,
thank you.
You know, so that's you know, so hopefully Josh is going to get over there, and we're hoping to hear from Josh.
He's leaving Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Right?
We're actually hoping to hear from Josh on Thursday's show.
Is he going to call on Thursday?
We're going to try to. He's going to work
Hopefully, he's not going to be in the airport.
He's going to work something out with Eric, and he's going to be in quarantine.
Okay.
All right. But he's going to be trying to do the whole Skype thing that we had done when we were in our COVID protocol and couldn't get into the studio.
Nice. Nice.
So I think that'll be great.
We have a few minutes left. I still have some baseball trivia questions.
Okay.
That we could fill our time with. Are you up for it?
Yeah. Why not?
Oh, so you have something else you want to talk about?
No, I just wanted to, before we get into that, I just wanted to obviously thank Amelia Osgood for joining us. But the one thing that, because she's playing for Princeton and hopefully we're going to have a basketball season. So, you know, one of the things, and we'll announce this on our show, is that when she's playing against Dartmouth and or Harvard, we're trying to get really the community, the Wolfsburg community and people to go down to support her that, you know, knew her as a kid. And that would be a lot of fun for, especially for us, Mike, for Mike and the Haas to go down and cover Amelia and maybe chat with her as Princeton takes on whether it's Dartmouth or Harvard.
Nice. Nice. What are the Minnesota Twins named after?
What
right,
are
going right at you. What are the Minnesota Twins named after? I'll give you four choices.
Eric
knows
Eric
it.
Again. Yes.
What do you got,
Eric?
Eric?
I know this one.
Yes.
The Twin Cities.
Yes,
Minneapolis,
that is
St.
correct.
Paul.
Well done,
Very
Eric.
Very good. That's one for Eric, zero for Charlie.
Yeah, that's fine.
What is the name of the Tampa Bay Rays AAA minor league team?
AAA minor league team.
I think you should know this.
I should know this?
Yes. It's the most popular minor league team.
Oh, that's not going to help me.
A movie named after him.
I don't know. I don't really know.
Durham Bulls.
Bull
Durham.
Really? Oh, yeah. Well, obviously Bull Durham. I get that. The Durham Bulls.
Yeah. Okay. Who was the catcher's name on Bull Durham?
I don't.
Kevin Costner's character.
I know. I don't.
Crash
remember.
Davis.
Yeah. So that's your movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, Field of Dreams is mine.
Yeah. Mine too.
Okay. Who was the first major league player to hit four home runs in a single game? Your choices are Babe Ruth, Ed Delahanty, Lou Gehrig, or Bobby Lowe. I think I know this one. Who are you going to go with?
It's Ed Delahanty.
Oh, you know this one.
No, I don't. I just guessed.
I think it's Lou Gehrig.
Okay.
So I'm checking Lou Gehrig. I'm wrong.
Who is it?
It is Bobby Lowe.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you knew it couldn't be the two main. You know, it couldn't be Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig.
I thought I had heard that.
So Bobby Lowe. Does it give a year in the answer?
1934, I think.
Wow.
I saw. I just clicked out.
So Beek probably saw that live.
Yeah. That one's an easy one. What player hit 70 home runs in 1998? We got some Facebook problems.
Are we okay?
Record player holds the records for the most stolen bases in a season. This goes back to our unbreakable records.
Ricky Henderson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be. Yep. With 130.
Can you imagine 130 stolen bases? And you said, you're right, the record's never going to be broken because we don't steal enough. But Major League Baseball doesn't steal enough.
Here's a good one for you. What year did the first recorded baseball game take place?
The first recorded, like live?
Like they kept stats and stuff like that, I guess.
Oh, really? Do I have some options?
Sure. Okay, the options are going to be 1749.
Okay, I'm going to... No, thank you.
1649.
Okay.
1949.
Yeah.
Or 1849.
I'm going to go with 1949.
No, you're not.
No, it's 1849.
It's not 1849.
Was it really 1749?
1749.
Come on. Who's playing baseball in 1749?
The first recorded game of bassball, that's how they spelled it.
Oh, come on.
Took place in 1749 in Surrey and featured the Prince of Wales as a player.
Come on.
Hey.
Really? Who were they playing? Cherokee Nation? Come on.
I would have said 1849, too.
Yeah, I would have gone right prior to the Civil War.
All right, here's a good one. What was the first professional baseball team? Was it the Boston Americans?
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Athletics? The Cincinnati Red Stockings? Or the New York Gothams?
Let's go with the Red Stockings.
You are correct.
Yeah, Cincinnati Red Stockings.
In 1869.
Okay.
Good one. Who holds the record for the most at-bats in a season?
The most at-bats?
At-bats. Jimmy Rollins.
Okay.
Ichiro Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Reyes or Willie Wilson?
Willie did lead. He was a leadoff hitter, Willie Wilson.
They are all leadoff hitters.
I'm going to go with Willie Wilson.
I'm going to say Ichiro.
Okay.
So we'll check yours first, and you are wrong. Check mine. I am wrong.
Who is it?
Jimmy Rollins.
Jimmy Rollins, wow.
716 at-bats.
Wow.
Speaking of Ichiro, I saw a thing with Shohei Ohtani. Did you see what Ohtani did after the All-Star game?
No, I didn't.
The Home Run Derby? He won $150,000 in the Home Run Derby or something like that for where he finished.
What did he do?
He gave it all to the Angels clubhouse people.
Oh.
I think there's 30 Angels clubhouse people.
That's wonderful.
He was planning on doing that. If he won the $1 million one, he was planning on giving it to them too.
What a guy. That's awesome.
He's becoming very likable. Right now. Yeah. He's very,
I love him.
Stephen A. Smith apologized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Good thing.
And Tom Brady, apparently he played last year with a torn ACL in the Super Bowl.
MCL. Yep. Right.
Still pretty bad.
And I believe it because it's TB12, pliability.
Oh, God.
He's amazing.
His legend is growing.
It sure is.
It's amazing. Yeah. We want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Haas and WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. Thanks to Faymore at Berkshire Hathaway.
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic.
Skelly's Market.
Lucas Roasting Company.
Duran Independent Insurance.
Carroll County Oil.
Downtown Grill and Cafe.
Weston Auto Body.
Linda's Flowers.
Bradley's Hardware.
JCN Shuttle.
Full Belly Deli.
And the Full Belly Bar and Grill.
We're going to have Josh Spaulding from Tokyo on Thursday.
Okay, let's hope so. Mike and the Haas.